Good morning, I'm Coach Jake, and we call all the leaders here coaches. So we got Coach Bob here, and Coach Wayne is in the room right over here. And so we call all of our pastors coaches because we believe that God's called Maywood to be a team, that God has a specific position for you on this team that only you can do. And so we're only going to look like the church God wants us to be when we're all serving Jesus together. So if you don't know where your position's at, I encourage you to come and talk with Wayne or with Bob or with me, or even just get started with something like Project Shine and get engaged with what we're doing here. So, Dee, will you pray for the offering?
Father God, thank you for this time together. Thank you from Maywood Baptist Church. Lord, we just lift up Angelina and Kimberly to you, Lord, that you would surround them with your grace, and that their profession of faith in public would spur us on to do something bold for you this week, Lord, that you would give us the courage and the opportunity to serve you in a mighty way, Lord. That would be such a blessing, Father God. We just pray for the sermon, Lord, that it be from you, that you talk into our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, we pray for the conviction that leads to repentance. We pray for you to break our hearts for the lost. But Father God, we're just a bunch of your kids, man. And we're just doing the best we can. Lord, we need you. We need your help because we can't change on our own. We thank you for Sunday school where we learned about that you're the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And that we thank you for that, Lord. Just pray for the offering, Lord, that you would put it on our hearts to be cheerful givers and that you would put this money to good use, that it might further your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. Cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. Cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, it would change our lives, it would set us free. It's what we need to be. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. Cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, we're honest.
So we're excited today. It's not just Bob and I up here, but Gary Gonzalez is going to be joining us this morning. And let me pray as we're getting started. God, I know that you want good things for us. And God, we come to you today because you're our good Father, and we ask for you to give us your Holy Spirit today. Fill each one of us. God, change each one of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So think about in your life a time when you've been really, really hopeful. And for some of you, it may have been a scene somewhat like this. A newborn baby brings out hope in just about everybody. And it was true for Zechariah. We see his story right before Jesus was born. Here's this older couple who couldn't have kids, and suddenly God blessed them with a kid. But God also blessed them with this message of who this child would be. And they named him John, and there's a whole story around that name. But we would call him John the Baptist. That's who he grew up to be. And when he was just very first born, God had spoken to his father about who this John would be. And so this is his father actually prophesying, actually saying, here's who my son is going to be, and here's who Jesus is going to be. So we're going to read this right out of Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 76. It says, "And you, my child," talking to John, "will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." And then he begins to talk about Jesus. He says, "To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." This is what Jesus came to bring for us. "Because of the tender mercy of our God." It's a great descriptor of God. And then he uses this metaphor, this image, to describe Jesus. He says, "By which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." So this image here that we're given is people who've been trapped in darkness, who have no way out, a darkness of death. For a lot of us in the room, we've seen or we've even been in times like that, where there's no hope, where everything seems covered in a shadow of death and despair. But what the Bible's telling us this morning is that Jesus came to be this rising sun for us. That just as people who've been living in darkness all the time, what a joy it would be to see a sunrise, that Jesus can be that sunrise for us, to fill us with hope. This Wednesday, it's time again for another rally, and that's when all of our small groups gather together right here in this room, and we all share about what God's doing. But this time is going to be a little special. We're going to watch a movie called The Neighborhood. And so this movie touches on this idea of hope and the hope that Jesus came to bring us. Let's watch the trailer before we go any further.
Your elders, your brothers, whoever it is, they tell you, men don't cry. Be a macho man. They tell you.
Walking up and down these streets was no joke growing up.
You know, you're a member of a gang. There are certain things that you have to do for membership.
I was stealing, I was cheating, just doing what I always had done. And to be honest with you, we went in there just kind of to have fun type of thing, never realizing how it was going to pull us in and change our whole way of thinking and our mentality.
I don't ever remember as a child ever someone saying, look, there is hope. And because of it, because I lived without any hope, I lived the way I did.
So this Wednesday, we'll be watching The Neighborhood. We'll also be talking a little bit further with Gary about his experiences. But tell us, Gary, just a little bit about why this movie came up for you.
Well, Jake, this movie came to me. A friend of mine had shared this with me and sent me the link and had said, well, I heard you got saved, so I think you'd like this movie. So I watched it. You had been talking about in church about how you need to, we all need to, reach out to other people. So I thought this movie would be a good venue. And so I emailed you. You didn't get back to me. And
that's true. It took me a little while.
You know, I thought, well, I'm going to give him a smack and see how he likes that. But no, I didn't. So I gave you a God pass.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm very appreciative.
Yeah. I give out a lot of those these days. So.
I've been knowing Gary for 10 years plus, and maybe closer to 15, I guess.
Yeah, about 15.
About 15 years, and he is one of my good friends. I was the best man in his wedding back, how many years ago was that?
2008.
That's a couple years ago. And so he knows something about the neighborhood. He obviously knows something about meeting the Lord. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about your similarities? You can feel some stuff in the neighborhood.
Well, my similarities is I had no hope. You know, everybody always told me that, hey, you're going to be a bad kid. So, you know what? I took that to the fullest. I went to VOTEC because that's where all the bad kids went. You know, they put you all in a little group, and there you go. For me, the hope was that I was going to be bad. And, yeah, I knew the difference in the consequences and everything, and my mom taught me right and that old deal, but I never listened, so, because I always was having fun, you know?
All righty. So I know a little bit of his story, and to be honest, we're not going to talk about a whole bunch of his past story. One of our goals here is not to talk about the past, but to talk about the present and the future. You all know your past. Gary knows his past. I happen to know my past. But we're going to touch a little bit on it just to kind of give you a little bit of an idea. And you can look at Gary and say, I don't think I'd want to be in a fight with you. By the way, I would not. And he has shown me where he has no knuckles, and so somehow those vanished on his hand. And so all that being said, you ended up in New Jersey. How'd you get there?
Well, I was raised in Raytown. My mom got remarried. We moved to New Jersey. And it was like gladiator school. I went from here in Missouri to fighting adults and just trying to survive, and you're going to do whatever you do to survive.
So you had that experience, and how many years were you kind of in that mindset, in that world?
Well, my whole life, Bob. I mean, I was born in Research Hospital. I weighed 2 pounds, 2 ounces, and they told my mom, they said, don't get too close to him because he'll probably not survive. Okay.
Wow.
So I've been fighting my whole life.
There you go. Since birth.
Yep.
Right. Kind of had an absent dad. You told that in the early service.
Yeah. I met my dad for the first time when I was 21, and he was in Jeff City Prison. He was a bad person, you know. I met my grandmother for the first time at that same trip, and luckily it was here in Kansas City, and she had still lived here, because if things went completely crazy, I had places to go. You know, I had my best friend Katie, who's sitting back there. I could go stay at her house. So I'm not in some town where I don't know anybody. They gave him actually 2 visiting days because he was meeting me for the first time, and that was kind of unheard of. You usually had one or the other. And he started talking about fatherly duties, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't even know if I like you yet. So don't come at me with fatherly stuff. And, you know, when I went back to New Jersey, and he knew that I was a tattooist and stuff and made money, and he asked me for money. And if my grandmother would have known that, she would have died inside.
So, just a show of hands, how many people kind of can understand this story? I mean, you got a whole room full of people who know what you know. And there's another part of your story that a lot of people here, I hope everybody, but if not, it can be everybody. You met the Lord. And so talk to us about that, because that's a pretty nice thing.
Yeah, I did meet the Lord, and I'm glad that I did. I was working for Danny at the time, Whispering Danny. You all know him. And Shane and Danny were coming to church, getting saved. But they never, ever tried to press me and say, hey, you know what, you should come to church. So one day I just showed up here at Maywood. I mean, I had never even really been in Independence. We always called it Methylham, you know. So I came here, and I walked in the door. The roof didn't fall down on my head, so I was like, well, that's a good step, you know. And then the time of my life then was crazy, you know. I was dating this crazy broad that one day she just took out one of my pistols, and she's like, I'm going to stuck it in her mouth. And luckily, I had taken all the ammunition out of that pistol and taken that ran out of that chamber because she pulled the trigger. And now you look at me, and I'm going to try to explain this to the cops. Yeah, right. You know, they're going to be like, no, I don't think so. So
you got here. You hung around. What happened?
Well, I met my beautiful wife. She's sitting right back there.
Heather, why don't you stand up? There you go. So how in the world did that happen?
Well, that's a funny story, Bob. So I was coming here by myself and everything, you know, and I was just trying to get in touch with myself, the Lord. And I had met my wife at a barbecue, and she was friends with one of my best friend's wives. And she was going through her own tribulations at the time. And she was kind of stuck up. And I was like, whatever, you know. So my friend Chris says to me, hey, you want to go to ZZ Top? And I said, yeah, who's going? And he said, it'll be me, my wife, and Heather. I'm like, nope, no thanks. She's stuck up. So I'm going to church, and I'm going to welding school and everything, because I completely changed my life, and it's something that I had been tattooing forever, and then I just stopped, because that just wasn't part of my life anymore. And so, thank you. And I was like, nope, she's stuck up. So she comes to Maywood, and I knew how it felt when you first come in here, and you're by yourself. Even though I had friends here, I was friends with Bob, but I'm not going to come up here and sit on the stage with Bob and have him hold my hand, you know? So I seen her sitting by herself. So it was God that told me to go over there and sit with her because I really didn't want to, you know, because she was stuck up and, you know, I'm like, so, but she's not stuck up now, of course. So I went and sat with her, and then it just grew from there.
There you go. All right. And you now have how many kids? There we go. There we go.
I have three beautiful kids.
They are.
And they are a godsend. You know, I get to be the dad that I always wanted. I get to be whole. I have peace now. And it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. You are, and Heather, you and your family are one of my favorite stories. I've got a lot of favorite stories, okay? Jesus makes life new. In the Sunday school class I'm a part of, I heard them say Jesus raises a lot of people from the dead. And there's a lot of people in this room who were dead. In fact, I happen to be one of those too. Dead, alienated, separated from God, and yet he made us alive together with Jesus Christ. And Gary, you and Heather and your kids, you're there, and it is a fantastic story. So anything else you want to tell us? Because I'm going to preach about you for a second, and I'll come back to you.
Go ahead, preach about me, Bob.
All right.
Sure, I'll have a question.
So there's a reason why we show the neighborhood, and there's a reason why we ask people like Gary to come, and we have a lot of people who share our ministry here. When Jake stands up and he gives the offering and he says, I'm Coach Jake and this is Coach Wayne and this is Coach Bob, and we are coaches, that is the absolute truth. And here are the superstars, all right? One of those, all right? And those of you who are applauding for this superstar, you're also the superstars. You really are the players on the team. And so there's some things that people like Gary do for us, or whoever else we have up here, they do for us that we really need to grab hold of. And one of the things they do is they give us hope. All right? And that is, you might be looking and saying, man, I'd like to have a spouse. And I'd love to have a family again. And I'd love to have a job that provides well for me. And here's a guy who was not full of a lot of hope at one time. And he had lost a fair amount. And he still was always working and he was still providing. So he didn't reach that point. But here's a guy who says, look at me. And he's not bragging on himself. I'm saying, look at him. Here's a guy who did the next right thing, who got up when he maybe didn't feel like it and went to welding school. And he got through welding school, went to work for the railroad, and did, hear this please, he did whatever it takes. A couple weeks ago, you weren't in church. What were you doing?
No, I wasn't in church, and I hardly ever miss church. So I was working for about 26 hours, 27 hours straight. So
yeah. So they had a train derail over where?
It was at the Kaw River Bridge in between Argentine and
somewhere.
Yeah, Tower 3, which you guys wouldn't know what that is, but so.
So you were there. I want you to hear this because this is a secret. It is a secret to some success. You were there, and out of your company, who was the other person there?
There was only one other track supervisor, and he's the one that gets called first. And then they called me in, and then, of course, people came in on Sunday morning because they had been rested up and they're ready to go, you know.
Right.
Nothing that they have to give up.
So, y'all hear that? He was out there with his torch cutting up steel and metal so these big giant cranes could move stuff around. Hear this, please. Those of you who want hope, there was a step-by-step discipline that he applied to get to where he is. He didn't just come to Maywood and a pastor wave a magic wand over his head and poof, shazam, he got everything he wanted. Okay? So, would you hear that? Hope, yes, you can get there, but hope, you've got a part to play in that. I think that's a really important message. Tell me about the influence of people like Whispering Danny and Shane in your life. How did they make a difference?
Well, they never ever pressed me and said, well, you have to go to church. And then I seen them completely change. So if they can do it, why not? Why can't I or you? It's not an easy walk. You got to just take one step in front of the other. And there was a lot of times that, you know, I wanted to give up, but I didn't. And I've never ever surrendered to anybody, but I surrendered to the Lord.
That's a huge. I've had men say to me, I don't kneel to anybody. There is one that you should kneel to, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is worthy. So when you surrender to him, he packages up what you give him, and he hands it back to you to have all the things that you always wanted to have. Chris was giving the announcement this morning. You got the similar story. You could talk about that, okay? So there's another part. By the way, if you want to say anything, you just tell me.
Oh, I'll interrupt you, Bob. I have no problem doing that.
So another thing I'd like to say is just I want to give you step by step how you can meet the Lord. I think it's important. And so if we pretended in the early service that Jake was Jesus, we'll do it again. Let's pretend that Jake is Jesus, and I'll just pretend that I'm me, okay? And what we do is we walk away from the Lord. And we all know how to walk away from the Lord. Lord, I got this thing. I don't need you. I know what I know. I know what I want. I feel what I want to feel. I'm going for it, right? And a lot of us have wrecked our lives on that very kind of thinking. And we reach a point where we stop. I'm looking at D right now. D was rescued by Eric Gossie under a bridge down the street and brought to Maple House. We reach a point where we stop and we say, this isn't going to make it for me. And then we turn, and it may not be instantaneously, it may be a process or a time, but we turn and we start walking in the direction of Jesus, okay? And so that is a beginning point. And we pray a prayer. And we say, Lord, help me. Come into my life. Be my Savior. I've heard people say it all sorts of different ways. I love the fact God looks at your heart, not your mouth. So you don't have to pray some pretty prayer to get to the Lord in your life. You just let him know from the heart that you need him. He's going to come help you. And so then what you do is you come up, give me a high five, and that's it. I'm gone. No. What you do is, this is going to be weird. Give me a hand, man. You take his hand, and you walk with him, and you spend time with him, and you let him bless your life and make your life what it ought to be. And then did you like Gary, you call up Jake, and you say, Jake, I'm going to smack you if you don't play the neighborhood.
Well, and to jump into this, you know, some of you might hear Gary's story and say, well, I've already done some of those initial steps. But Gary saw something that he thought, I could help other people get to know Jesus through this. I could share what God's done in my life, and I could use this thing. And then he wanted to do it here at Maywood. And then even when we drug our feet on it, he kept after us about it, which was really good. You know, that devotion, that drive to say, I don't want to just take care of myself and my family, but I want to serve God. I think that's something all of us could be doing more of saying, how do I show God to more people? And that's what Gary's doing with this movie on Wednesday. And so it's a chance for you guys, maybe not to pressure people, but it's a chance for you guys to help bring people like Gary's doing. You know, I don't know if you have a thought on that. But.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people like to taunt you because they're like, oh, you go to church and you're saved. You know, that doesn't mean that you're soft. Believe me, I give out a lot of God passes, okay, where before I would just break your jaw and not think twice about it. And then you would fear me, and that would be it. So you were either going to get in check or you weren't. I mean, it's no easy, you know, battle when you walk with Jesus. You know, there's so much temptation that, yeah. You know, after working so long, you know, I don't want to get up and pray, you know. Bob asking me how I get in touch with Jesus. You know, I really don't like reading all that much, but I'm an audio person. I have a CD right now in my truck. You can go out there and see that, you know, it's the New Testament. So I drive to work. I listen to it. I think about it during the day, you know. I have an app on my phone that, you know, sends me a Bible quote every day, you know, with this. With all the social media, you don't have an excuse, you know. Yeah, you don't have to carry a Bible around in your pocket and, you know, try to save everybody. So,
that's good. We could talk a long time. Gary's a good friend of mine. I'm really thankful that he and I get to serve the Lord together. And I see you've got a whole corner of the building back there on your team. Do you see them back there?
I see that, and there is no kids talking back there this Sunday.
So good move. We're going to invite you to respond. If you have come today looking for hope, Jesus Christ is your answer. We want you to have some steps to do it. So you, if you're here, today's a great day to turn. And don't just give God a high five, but take him by the hand and let him start leading you and walking you through life. All right? Gary, thank you so much, my friend, for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's pray.
Let's pray. God, I thank you for what you've done in Gary's life, Lord, over all these years. And I thank you, God, that that's not a one-time deal. That God, that offers for any of us that are willing to follow you, you'll give us new life. God, I pray right now we would respond to you. I pray right now we'd take hold of new life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.